The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
And meditation is God's way of converting our thinking. And until light comes in this earth, a person struggles. So, we got to get a higher thinking. You and I are capable of thinking on the same level as our Creator. As we look at the earth, God has sent Jesus to get the earth back into the hands of its rightful ownership. That is, the children of God. Ownership means that you're the one that decides what goes on here. God wants to prosper your soul first. He wants to make sure that what He gives you won't ruin you. Because just because a man a woman has something doesn't necessarily mean that they got it from God. The enemy can prosper folk. When the devil gives you money, he has the right to do with it whatever he wants to do. And the devil can give folk money, cars, houses, but understand what he's out for, your soul. We are the temple of God. So God is having you and I to use this wealth mainly to build Him a temple, to build Him a habitation so that He can dwell among His people. Meditation is God's way of converting our thinking. And so I saw something through meditation. Something called light comes. The Bible says over in Psalm 119 and verse 130, "For the entrance of thy word giveth light." And until light comes in this earth, a person struggles. Because Satan is the prince of darkness. And he knows how to put pressure in that area that people won't have enough strength or confidence to be able to leave the system that they're now in. So what happened, I meditated that light came one day in St. Paul, Minnesota, just broke open inside of me. I called my wife, said, "Baby, I'm leaving the company." She said, "Well, praise the Lord." And I had no problem. Now, the people around me thought I was crazy because at that time, the economy was down. It wasn't doing well and so forth and so on. So if I had picked any time to leave, that was not it. But I had light that they didn't have. And the same thing happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Here he was going out to find Christians and bringing in them in, the Jewish believers, and bringing them in to testify to their death. And on the Damascus road, the Bible says a light shined from heaven brighter than the noonday sun. And I'm saying when you get revelation, it overshadows information. I don't care what you've learned before. That revelation will open up a whole new level for you and separate you from that which is dark. And so what happened was, Paul, of course, caught the vision at that point and became one of the greatest apostles the world has ever known. So my point to you is that revelation is what I'm trusting that you'll get out of this. Because I'm not talking about a get-rich-quick scheme. I'm talking about a way that we could finish the work that God has called us to do. And Jesus can come on back. The King can come. So we have to upgrade our thinking. You and I are capable of thinking on the same level as our Creator. That's worth writing down. You and I are capable of thinking on the same level as our Creator. Again, as we look at the earth, God has sent Jesus to get the earth back into the hands of its rightful ownership. That is the children of God. He said, "The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth has He given to the children of men." It's found in Psalm 115 and verse 16. So then this earth belongs to God's people. And God wants us to take ownership over it. Now, ownership means that you're the one that decides what goes on here. That nothing really can exist here without your permission. It's you, the owner. You're the owner. You own the apartment building. Nothing can exist in there without my permission. No, I'm not going to allow that in this apartment. No dogs or cats in this apartment building. No drugs in this. Are you following what I'm saying? Nothing against dogs or cats. So, as we look at this, the drug problem is not the world's problem. It's the church. Come on. The poverty problem, the illiteracy problem, come on. We've got to see it as ours. and we have enough of what it takes to fix it. Because there are no impossibilities in the kingdom of God. If anything seems impossible, it's only a deception. So now we're going in and making some things happen. Now, let's go over to 2 Kings and chapter 7, please. Now, this is when Samaria, or Israel, was in a bad situation. They were starving. Things were bad for them. And a prophet comes on the scene. The prophet says, Elisha, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Let me just tell you and put it in my own words. Tomorrow is going to be plenty. It's going to be cheap. Now, understand who he's talking to. He's talking to people who were in famine. What had happened is the enemy had surrounded them, Syria, and had cut off all the supplies. That's a favorite trick of the enemy when you're fighting a war, to cut off your supply line. And the enemy had cut off their supplies. So now they're in there and you know, thinking about eating babies and so forth like that. A lot of wrong things going on. So the prophet comes on the scene, and he makes an announcement. And this particular announcement that he made seemed, in anybody's way of thinking, seemed to be the most ridiculous announcement anybody could make in this situation. Now, there is no place in Scripture where human logic or human reason produced a miracle. There is no place in Scripture where human logic or human reason produced a miracle. And this is going to be a miracle. Plus the fact that most of the miracles that we're seeing or going to see in these last days are not necessarily spectacular. That's worth writing down. Because sometimes people can miss it. And when they miss it, they do say this, oh, that would have happened anyway. That's what they say. All right, so he makes this announcement. Now, this is a prophetic declaration of a transfer of wealth. And look at verse 2. Then a lord whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, you'll see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat it of it. So in other words, this man was trying to intellectualize this miracle. And he came up with unbelief. He said, there's no way things are going to change in our bank accounts that quickly. Well, I'm preaching, but you said amen now. There's just no way. This is too good to be true. Well, the Bible says over in Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man be a liar. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 right quick. You see, the gospel in some places is too good to be true if you look at it from human logic. You're trying to figure out, hey, you know, you're applying your scientific theories to this. So he just said, he had to speak his mind. He said, listen, if God himself would open up heaven and pour stuff out, there's no way this is going to change in Lucretia's life that quick. Because I know her. There ain't no way it's going to change in her life. Now, I'm only saying this is what this intellectual person did. Because now their thoughts are not up on the level with God. All right, so we got to get a higher thinking here. We can't look at logic, because logically you're going to try to figure out how is this going to happen. Remember, the church is supernatural, not natural. So what happens is, with you and I, God has this plan. And this is a plan of God transforming wealth to his people. In Luke chapter 12, let's look at that first. This is a teaching on covetousness. Covetousness. Covetous means excessively eager to obtain and to possess, usually for selfish reasons, and usually what somebody else has. Covetous. Look what he says about it. Verse 13. And one man of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the things, in the abundance of things which he possesses. So he's saying, beware now. Don't let this covetous spirit come in. And we all have to watch that spirit. Because a covetous spirit will make you want to keep up with the Joneses. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. So as we look at this, he is saying here, watch for it. Because just because a man or woman has something doesn't necessarily mean that they got it from God. All right, put something right there. We'll come back. And let's look at Luke chapter 4. Over in Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus being tempted of the devil as he's starting his earthly ministry. And it says here in verse 5, And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will what? Give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Isn't this interesting? So here's the devil trying to give somebody something. Now let me show you what he's done. You don't need to stay there anymore. Come on over here to Psalm chapter 73. And let's see what the devil has done. Because he set up a system in this earth called Babylon. And this system is a demonic system. And look what he's done. Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the what? Prosperity of the wicked. Oh, he's prospering his folk. Look at verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. The enemy can prosper folk. And he can give you something. But whatever he gives you, you will catch H-E double hockey sticks with it. When the devil gives you money, he has the right to do with it whatever he wants to do. And the devil can give folk money. The devil can give folk cars. The devil can give folk houses. But understand what he's out for. He's out to buy your soul. Let's go back over to Luke chapter 12. Let's read it. Look at verse 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Wow. So he didn't want to give anybody anything. He wants to build a bigger barn. Now understand, God has given you that wealth for something. And so, verse 19, and I will say to my soul, soul, it's time to retire. I put that into myself. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Now this is kind of interesting here, because he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He didn't say your life, your soul. I think the devil was out to buy this man's soul. And like I said, when he gives you some money, he gonna try to move in with it. The devil is out to buy your soul. He tempted Jesus with it. He said, I can give you this. I can give you a house. I can give you a car. Really? I can send you a credit card. And you'll go to church saying, look what the Lord did. Now understand. Understand. That same credit card is what ruined your credit. See? See, he comes with it. H-E double hockey sticks comes with whatever he gives you. So you want it so when you get the wealth, that it won't ruin you. You get the wealth, you gonna wait on God to see exactly what God wants to do with the money that he's transferred, come on, into your hand. And if you're faithful over a few things, he's going to make you ruler over many things. Now, I'm only trying to give you the downside here, because I want you to understand that covetousness and all these kinds of things that the enemy wants you to pick up, God wants to prosper your soul first. He wants to make sure that what he gives you won't ruin you. Say amen to that. He wants to build your capacity for billions. Say amen to that. Woo-wee. That came out of the Holy Ghost. The quality of intake that you have in terms of the word will determine the strength of your output. The transfer. SOP is what we call it in the military. Standard operating procedures. For God to transfer wealth into the hands of his people. All right, let's just start back here. Let's go back to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 12. Let's start with a man named Abram. All right. Now, I don't know if you know anything about wicked men, but they're just not going to jump up and give you their wealth. I said, I don't know if you know anything about them, But so you can't go and run up to nobody and, you know, get a gun or a knife and say, you know, my name is Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. That's not the way it happens. God transfers this. Now, I'm going to show you in the Bible, because I want to show you where God continually transfers the wealth of the wicked. But I tell you what, before I show you that, let me show you the main reason why he does it. The main reason. Let's go over to Exodus and Exodus chapter 25. The main reason why he transfers the wealth. That is so important to know. Look what he says here in Exodus 25. Now, this is a group of people that have come out of slavery. And what happened was God had the Israelites to go and borrow jewels of silver and gold and clothing from the Egyptians. And then he had them to leave town. They crossed through the Red Sea because it split. And then when the Pharaoh came after his stuff, the Red Sea closed up. Got it? All right. So they were left with all this gold and silver and so forth. Look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Look at verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them. So notice, he gave it to them, but he gave it to them so that they could bring him an offering. Now, what is he going to do with the gold? What is he going to do with the silver? Come on. He's going to make a what? Sanctuary. That's the type and shadow, because it's in the Old Testament. What is a sanctuary in the New Testament? Us. We are the temple of God. So God is having you and I to use this wealth mainly to build him a temple, to build him a habitation so that he can dwell among his people the way he's always wanted to do. Say amen to that. Now, some of it is for you. You can have your little swimming pool and so forth. But I'm saying, in the state that you are, we need to get your mind straight, because we don't want you after today to try to keep up with the Joneses. God wants you to be the lender and not the borrower. But what you have to do is go through your mind, because anything that's in the covenant for you, you're going to have to put pressure not on people, but on the covenant. If you're trying to get healed, you're going to have to take that scripture, by his stripes I am healed. Devil, I command you to leave. Are you following what I'm saying? It just doesn't fall out of a tree on you somewhere. My point to you is, if you want to be debt free, you're going to have to first make up your mind, I'm going to be debt free. Well, I trust that you are blessed by this exciting teaching. It's called The Wealth Transfer. Now, this is a part of a 4-disc series. Now, here's 3 points I'd like you to remember. 1. The more we meditate God's word, the more light comes in and casts out darkness. Now, darkness is a thing that causes us to continue to struggle in life. So we need to get God's word and meditate it so that the light come and casts out all the struggle and toil and whatever that we're having in our lives. 2, prosperity will ruin a fool. Now, that's scripture. You see, the enemy tries to bring a spirit of covetousness. Now, that's a condition that'll make people try to keep up with the Joneses. It'll make people go in debt, trying to look good for somebody, and meanwhile, they can't afford what they've got, so forth and so on. So what we have to do is beware of covetousness, because that is not the way God's people need to act. Stay in your own lane, praise God, and stay within the boundaries of your own faith. 3, the devil is out to buy a person's soul. I mean, he wants to know, what will you give for your soul?
because he has things that he'll try to give, some riches or some prestige or some positions or money or and so forth and so on. And I mean, if people are out drug dealers or out doing some certain things, I'm just saying that the enemy comes in to try to buy a person and control them. But the problem with that is whatever he comes with it. You see what I'm saying? If it's money, if it's position, whatever it is, whatever you compromise to get, one man said, you're going to have to compromise to keep. The enemy comes right with it. Well, the announcer has some more important information on how you can attain this powerful set of teachings, and I'll be right back.
The meditation is God's way of converting our thinking. And until light comes in this earth, a person's faith. So, we got to get a higher thinking. You and I are capable of thinking on the same level as our Creator. As we look at the earth, God has sent Jesus to get the earth back into the hands of its rightful ownership. That is, the children of God. Ownership means that you're the one that decides what goes on here. God wants to prosper your soul first. He wants to make sure that what He gives you won't ruin you. Because just because a man or woman has something doesn't necessarily mean that they got it from God. The enemy can prosper folk. When the devil gives you money, he has the right to do with it whatever he wants to. And the devil can give folk money, cars, houses, but understand what he's out for, your soul. We are the temple of God. So God is having you and I to use this wealth mainly to build Him a temple, to build Him a habitation so that He can dwell among His people.
Enter the golden age with a new revelation of your rightful ownership in this earth and your kingdom responsibility to glorify God in Pastor Winston's dynamic teaching entitled The Wealth Transfer. To order on CD or DVD, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303. By bank card at 1-800-711-9327 or online at billwinston.org.
Now, in the New Testament, we are God's house. In other words, people are the temple of God. So God is transferring the wealth into the hands of the righteous to build Himself a temple. See, as we evangelize and round up people, that's the habitation of God, for Him to come back and dwell among His people the way He always intended it to be. Praise God. Well, this is Bill Winston saying, until next time, we love you and keep walking by faith.